So, Jim, come on up. We're so excited to have you. God is good. Give him a warm welcome.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, give it to us, Jim. God bless you.
Amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad to be here this morning. Glad to see your happy, smiling faces.
Amen.
That was you imitate that one, right? Anyways. Oops, I got the wrong one here. So I'm glad to be here and to be able to share some things with you. And if I had known you were giving away pumpkins, I might have dressed a little better. But maybe we'll split that one later. No, it's okay. But I am glad to be here. It's been about a year since I'm here in this church, but this is the first time in this building. Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be here. I've been seeing all the pictures and the videos and everything through Facebook, and I've been praying for you guys. This is a big deal. And it's just awesome to finally be in here. And, yeah, I get plenty of ministry message ideas from stuff like that, too. But don't want to get too carried away. But before I share what God has put on my heart to give you from the Word, I want to thank you for your help and your support, because you are supporting me in the work that I'm doing over there in Germany and in Europe. I thank you for that. Without people like you helping me and contributing to what I'm doing, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. You know, since I was here last time, well, let me give you the overall picture. For those of you who maybe don't know me, my name is Jim, and I've been living over in Germany. As of this next Thursday, I've been there for 16 years. Praise God. I always like to say we made the trade, you know, the U.S. got Sibylla, Germany got me, and they're still trying to figure out how to make it even. You guys got the better part of the deal. Anyway. But I've been over there teaching in schools, teaching in churches, all over Europe. I've been so far in 14 different Bible schools. I've been just in Europe in 10 different churches. In fact, I looked it up, and I've been on 10 different airlines and in 18 different airports all over Europe. That was fun. Yeah, been a lot of train trips, a lot of car rides, and even on the boat and stuff like this. But you are helping me to go there and teach the truth of God's Word. As Pastor Sibylla mentioned, I am a teacher. That's the main gift that God has given me. You know, I could preach. I've actually preached before, but that's not really what God called me to do. I'm called to teach. And so I'm part of a network of schools. You may be familiar with Kenneth Hagin Ministries in Rhema, which is located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's the worldwide headquarters. And we are in Bonn, Germany. We are the headquarters for Rhema and what Rhema is doing in Europe, Africa, and in the Middle East. And there are things happening in the Middle East. God is doing some good things. You don't always hear about it, you don't always see it, and you can't always necessarily talk about it, but there are good things happening, and you're a part of it because you're helping to support me. So you may never get out of Oregon. That's a little unusual today for people not to travel so much, but you might never ever leave Oregon, but you are impacting people all over the world. Because not only am I going and I'm personally teaching in different schools, but because we are the headquarters for Rhema in Europe, Africa, and in the Middle East, the materials that we prepare and things that I've worked on are going all over the place. They're being used in schools all over Europe, in Africa, and the things that are starting up in the Middle East. In fact, there's a Rhema school in Egypt. You might not know that. But right now, there are almost 200 Rhema schools around the world. That's pretty good. We've got 30-some in Europe. In Europe, there's 12 different nations that have Rhema schools. And all of those schools, when they have their lessons for the classes, those things are based on what we do, what we have. I've talked to people who have taught my materials in places like the Ukraine, over in Norway, down in Ghana, different places like that. People have talked to me and said, man, I really like your notes. I've been using them to teach this class. So even though I'm not personally there, I'm contributing to that, and people are basing what they're doing on the things I've prepared, and so you're helping with that as well. The school in Egypt, people come there from many different Arab nations, you know, Middle Eastern nations. People are coming into Egypt because they can do the school there. So your support of me is helping me as I'm teaching in the different schools, as the things that I've helped to prepare are going into these different nations, as I'm working with the kids in our school, in our church, as I'm teaching my weekly home group, you're all there helping me. Your support is touching a lot of people's lives. You might not realize it, but you're helping to change people's lives today. They had church over there Germany, we're 9 hours ahead of you here, and they've already had church, and they already went home and, you know, had the bratwurst and everything like that. And kind of bratwurst. But you're part of a worldwide network of churches and schools. So your support of me is going a long, long way. It's good to support people. It's good to invest in the lives of men and women of God and the things that they're doing. And you can invest in people working in different nations. But by helping me, you're investing in multiple nations. So I thank you for that. I appreciate your work. You know, I was just talking to Don earlier today, and I go back on, I forget the exact dates, but I fly back to Germany on a Thursday. I get there on a Friday. I teach class on Saturday, and then I'm in the kids' ministry on Sunday. And a couple weeks after that, when I get back to Germany, I'm going to Greece to teach a seminar in a church of one of our graduates over there. So God is doing a lot of great things. And I personally have been, as I said, in 14 different schools in different nations. I was just back in Northern Ireland earlier this year. I was in Switzerland a couple weeks ago. Next year, I'll go for the first time for me personally teaching to Norway and also to London. So there's a lot of great things happening. You know, they even opened a Rhema school in Cuba. I think that's great. I hope they try to get Fidel to go to school. He could use it. Make his last days better than his first days, right? Anyway, but just wanted to share with you some of the things that I'm doing. Thank you for your support. You think about me. You pray for me. I can use all the prayers I can get. Hallelujah. If you want to remember to pray for me, I've got some of my stuff back there. I've got these little cards, you know. You can take one of these things, stick them on your refrigerator, or like over here, you know, he's put one in his Bible. So you can remember to pray for me. You see my face. It might help you on your diet. And you look at this and go, oh, man, I don't feel like eating now. But we got some of those back there. Also, if you're curious about what I'm doing, I have a newsletter I send out every month that I talk about what I'm doing. I don't do any real teaching in my newsletter. I have a blog site that's just my name. I do a blog every week, a little teaching thing that I put on there. But I have some little brochures back there. If you want to sign up and get my newsletter, you can do that. You can get my newsletter by mail or email. You might want to support me yourself. Your church is supporting me. But you just might be curious to hear what God's doing over there and what you're investing in, and that's fine too. It's not a paid subscription, all right? But if you want to hear what I'm doing, because a lot of times, I was talking about this last night as well, but I remember when I was at the Winter Bible Seminar in Tulsa this year, I was talking to a couple that I know from France. And we had just been in some of the meetings there in Rhema in Tulsa. And I was saying to them, I said, you know, a lot of Americans really don't understand what's happening in Europe, do they? And the French couple, they said, no, they don't. We sometimes here in the U.S., we get this image that everything in Europe is pretty much like here, which is okay, you know, it's not so bad, but really, it's not so good over there. Not that many people even go to church, let alone people that are born again, and then from those that are born again, the amount of people that really know the truth of the word, it's very small, which is what I'm doing over there. God put that on my heart years ago, and when I first was going over to Germany, there was no Rhema. There were no network of schools like there are today. But I had it on my heart to go teach people the truth of God's word, to help them to see who they are in Christ, to help to do the things that God has put into their heart. And that's what God has called me to do. He's got a plan and a purpose for each one of us. He's created us to do some good works. It talks about that like in Ephesians 2:10. God has created us for a purpose, for a reason. Every one of us today in this place, we've got a destiny on our lives. This church has a destiny, not just the pastor, right? You know, you think about Pastor Bob, he's flying from Iceland, and oh man, he's a great man of God, so you know, we know God would never let anything bad happen to him, and God is blessing him. God is doing great things for him and his family, and Pastor Sabila, and Pastor Annie, and oh, and they're so wonderful. But God has a destiny for all of us as much as any pastor or apostle or any preacher you ever saw on television. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and part of our goal in life is to discover that plan and purpose, and then to fulfill it. Some of us need to be set free from our lives. It's true. Kind of like, well, what does that mean? Well, hang on. But again, I want to thank you for your support and for your help, and I'm so thrilled to be in this place and to see this thing. I'll see Pastor Bob's coming in, and we'll be able to get together this week, so that's going to be good. Trying to get all my schedule worked out is sometimes a little tricky, but it works. Praise God. And I'm so thankful to be doing what I'm doing and to have great people like you supporting me and helping me. So whenever you hear about Germany, whenever you hear about what's going on in Africa, whenever you hear about things in the Middle East, just know that God is doing some things. Brother Hagin's books, a lot of them have been translated into Arabic, and they're going all over the Arab nations. Now, you don't hear that on the news, but it's true. A lot of things are happening that you don't hear about. So praise God. God is good. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a destiny for our lives. And so today, there's something that God put on my heart that I want to share with you that I believe is specifically for you today. I found that the way God does things with me, as I've been doing this now, I've been a Christian for about 33 years. I've been in ministry for about 20 years. And so, you know, like I said, I've been to different Bible schools. I've been to different churches. I've actually spoke at 27 different churches so far and, you know, done seminars. I've done children's ministry. I've done youth ministry. I've done adults ministry. I've done men's meetings. I've done women's meetings. I've done just about anything you can imagine. Except I never did a marriage seminar. I just realized that one. But don't ask. You probably don't want to hear my views on that since I'm not married, and that's okay. Anyway, everybody's like, this is too much information. Just get on with the, can I scroll down through this and get to the actual message? No. But the thing is that God has a plan. He has a purpose. And what I've seen him working with me is as I've grown and developed as a Christian, I see how God's working in my life that it's different than what it used to be. We all grow, we all develop. I use the example a lot of times that I have eight nieces and nephews. And they range in age from like 2 years old all the way to, I believe the oldest one now, he's like 23, 24. And I relate to them differently based on their age and their understanding and their development. It's the same thing with God in our lives. We get born again, we become a new creation in Christ. We get this new life of God inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. That's our starting point. But from there, we've got somewhere we need to go. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. How do we get from here to there? From here to there. That's my title today. From here to there. And what I've seen God do with me, I would like it if God would give me a detailed plan of my life with everything explained, every hour of every day, exactly what I'm supposed to do, exactly who I should talk to, exactly where I ought to go, exactly what I should spend my time doing. I would be so happy with that. But that's not how God does things. I keep asking him for a 5-year plan and he never gives me one. Like, God, I've been waiting for this 5-year plan for 33 years and you still haven't given it to me. But what he'll do a lot of times, he'll give me an idea. And then I'll start to prepare some things, but what I've noticed more lately, and this is part of the growth and development that happens with all of us, that as I get closer and closer to where I actually need what I have to have, that he doesn't give it to me till I get right there. And I thought about how this is so similar to, you know, when we take a journey, when we take a trip, and all of us are on a journey in our lives. We start somewhere where we are today. We've all begun at the new birth, but wherever we are today is where we are today. Now write that down. That's a revelation, right? Wherever we are today is where we are today. Ooh, man. I gotta write that revelation down. No. But how do we get to where we need to go? How do we get to that so-called promised land, just like we see in the Old Testament? Israel was delivered out of Egypt. God had promised them a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place where every need is met, where everything that they want is there. How do you get from where you are now to that place? In our lives, how do we get to from where we are now to where we need to go? As a church, how do you go from, we've got into this building, we fixed this thing up, now we've got a destiny, how do we fulfill that? How do you do those things? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? That's why you're here today, I hope. But the thing is, as we grow, as we develop, we sometimes want things to be a certain way, but we don't always get it the way we want it. But God has told us things like, let's turn over first of all to Psalm 32. And I've always got many, many verses. I love the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's a good book. I like to read it a lot. And it's, you know, you can get it on your phone today. You can get it on the internet. You can still get it in print for old school people like me. There's a lot of ways you can get the Bible, but the important thing is get the Bible into you. I've got a lot of Bibles at home. I've got some Bibles I don't use anymore because I've read them so many times, pages are falling out. That's good. One person said, if you've got a Bible that's fallen apart, that means your life is not going to fall apart. If we'd invest more time in God's Word, you can't spend too much time with the Bible. I heard one testimony of a lady who got supernaturally delivered from some sickness and some problems she was having, and she ended up going into full-time ministry. But she told the story that God actually spoke to her and said, "You're reading the Bible too much." Now, I've only heard one person say that. But what would happen is she was married, she had kids, and she would spend all day reading the Bible. She just fell in love with God after she got supernaturally delivered. It's an amazing testimony. And she just spent all day reading the Bible. She wouldn't prepare the food. She wouldn't clean the house. She wouldn't wash the clothes. And God finally said to her, "Look, you're reading the Bible too much." So she had to set a timer. But most of us don't have that problem. And I said this last night, and it's still true. A lot of us today will spend hours watching a football game. And it's okay. I like football too. You know, real football and American football. I like all the kind of football. And we'll spend hours watching this stuff. They just had the World Cup. Germany won the World Cup. Hooray for Germany. And people spend hours watching a football game. That'll just get them excited, and it's okay to get excited. But then they'll spend 5 minutes with the Bible, and they wonder why they're so confused, and they don't know which direction to go, and they don't know why they've never achieved the goals they have in their lives. I'll give you a hint. More of this. It's not necessarily that you've got to have less of everything else, but you need to have more of this, more of God's word, more of his truth. If we want direction and wisdom in our lives, we got to know where to go to get it, and we've got it right here in God's word. We're sometimes waiting for the prophet to show up. "Oh, man, I hope somebody gives me a word today. Oh, Jesus, give me a word. Oh, Jesus, give me a word." And he's like, "Hello, it's called the Bible. I've given you a whole bunch of words right here." Now, here I mentioned this Psalm 32. Let me find my verse here. Psalm 32, and let's go down to verse 8, where he says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." God promised that he's going to guide us all through the Bible. In the book of Romans, it talks about those that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And when it says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit, all that means is that there's an agreement in our heart with the Spirit of God. We know we're going the right direction because we're at peace. We've got joy. We know we're doing the right thing. Not because outside circumstances all line up immediately, but we know we're doing the right thing because we've got the peace of God in our heart. Right? Now, when I flew here Friday, I have to think about it sometimes. But when I flew here Friday, I got on the airplane, and there was some storms and things going on here. And as we got closer, the plane's bouncing around, the plane's do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I didn't stop one of the flight attendants to say, excuse me, are we still going to Portland, or are we going to Peru? They'd look at me like, what are you, nuts? Of course we're going to Portland. Where do you think? Are we going to Portland, or are we going to Antarctica? I'm a little confused because things are bouncing around right now, and maybe our destination changed. See, this is the thing. We have to learn how to follow God and his plan and his wisdom, because when the bumps and the trouble in life comes, we sometimes think we're going the wrong direction. And it's not necessarily true. A great example of this is there's a school where we have a couple of schools in southern Germany. And if you take the train from where I live down to southern Germany, you might go through Stuttgart. And what's really interesting is going through Stuttgart on the train, the InterCity Express, and the first time this happened to me, I was a little freaked out. You come into the train station like this direction, you know, and then you're sitting there to get all the people on, and all of a sudden, you start going back the other direction. And I was traveling there with my translator for the first time, and when the train started going backwards, I thought, uh-oh, I'm thinking we're going the wrong direction. I want to go this way still. Why am I going back here? And the translator just started to laugh and said, "The train just does that. It's going out on a different track." But I remember the first time that happened, a little bit of fear gripped my heart. I'm going the wrong way. But I was still on the same train. I was still on the same airplane that left Chicago, and even though it was bouncing around, I was still going to the right place. You look at the story of Israel going from Egypt into the Promised Land, you look at the things that they experienced, and there's a lot of similarities with our lives. They faced some enemies. They had times where they were attacked by the enemy. They had times where they had they wondered, where are we going to eat some food? How are we going to eat out in the wilderness? God rained down manna every day for them. There's one place in Deuteronomy where it talks about, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it talks about even the soles of their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. I mean, what a great pair of shoes. I'd like to go find some of those shoes. 40 years and they never wear out? What awesome shoes. No, that's called the provision of God. And there was times they had a little bit of strife with their leadership. Ooh. Now you never have that here, do you? No, not in any churches in Portland. No, there's never any problems with people loving the pastor, and the pastor floats in on a cloud, and everybody's like, hallelujah, pastor, we love you so much. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody here just loves the pastor. They never have a question about what the pastor does. Everybody here is right behind the pastor. It's the people in other states, like Wisconsin, where I'm from, right? That's where people have a problem with leadership, right? But never here. I won't look at anybody. But, you know, just like Israel going through the promised land, sometimes there was some strife and people didn't like what the leaders were doing. And there are similarities to all these things in our own lives that when we start going from here to there, that we might face some challenges with the enemy coming against us. We might face some provisional challenges. We might even have some times where the leaders are doing things and we look at them and think, are you nuts? Have you lost your mind? What are you thinking? There was one time in, I think I wrote it down here, there was a story about Dathan and Abiram and a bunch of these guys in Numbers chapter 16, I believe, where they started saying, Moses and Aaron, you guys are trying to do too much. You guys think you're so smart? Well, God can talk to us too. And they challenged their leadership. And you know what happened? These people, now I'm not trying to prophesy or something, but the people that challenged the leadership, it said the ground opened up and swallowed them. That's not good. Now, I have leaders in my life. I like to call this, you know, we talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And I like the term I heard somebody else use, that those are spiritual leaders. And sometimes, you know, we all need spiritual leaders in our lives. I have spiritual leaders in my life. Don't believe in reincarnation. That's another group. But sometimes our leaders are going a certain direction, or even sometimes God is taking us a certain direction. Even if you want to take your pastor out of the equation, sometimes God is leading us, and we look at it and think, God, are you going the wrong direction? Don't you understand what my life needs? Don't you realize the things that are happening with me, my destiny, my plan in life? Don't you understand that? Why are you doing this? And we sometimes have that same kind of strife, just like Israel did in the wilderness with their leaders. We sometimes want to rebel and hold back and say, no, God, that's not right. Sometimes we're so connected to the things we have in our life today, and God says, you need to go over there. And we go, no, I want to stay here. I like this thing. This is my favorite thing, and I want to stay with it forever. And God says, no, go over there. No, but I like it here. Look how pretty it is. This is so wonderful. I've got it just the way I like it. Everything is so pretty. This is so nice. And he says, no, go over there. But I don't want to go over there. I like it here. Don't you understand? It's like sometimes people say to me, they're talking to me and they say, Jim, but you don't understand. And I said, no, you don't understand. Who's smarter, us or God? Let me think. No, there's no thinking. It's God. And I remember years ago in my life, and I knew God had a plan for me. I knew he had a purpose. I knew he had a destiny. I knew everything in my life was not the way it needed to be. And I said, God, you have some great things for me. Show me what to do. Oh, God, I'll follow you. I was just like Ananias in the book of Acts. Oh, Lord, here I am, he said when God spoke to him. He said, I'm here, Lord, I'm here, Lord. And then God told him what to do. And he said, excuse me? God said to Ananias, he said, there's a guy named Saul over here at the house of Simon the Tanner. He said, you go over here and pray for him. And for 1 minute, Ananias is saying, yes, Lord, here I am. And then when God told him what to do, he said, excuse me? Don't you know who this guy is? I could get in a lot of trouble. Sometimes we say, God, speak to me. God, lead me. God, teach me. Just like it says in Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. We say, God, lead me, God, teach me in the way to go. And he says, okay, go over here. And we go, I don't like that direction. But if we really want to find our destiny, if we really want to do what God's called us to do, we sometimes have to let go of one thing to hold on to another thing. if I've got this Bible in my hands and somebody comes up and says, Jim, I want to give you something, put the Bible down. But I like my Bible. I don't want to give up my Bible. But I have something really good to give you. But I've got my Bible. I've got my Bible. We sometimes have to let go of one thing to hold on to another thing. That's what it was like for me when God said to me, you have to go to Germany. And I was like, what? Excuse me? I'm an American. I live in America, where all the Americans are. In America. I'm an American. That's true. And he said, you will go to Germany. And I said, I didn't hear that. That must be somebody else. Sometimes he's telling us something, just like in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe it was, when God said to Israel, he said, here's what I want you to do. In fact, let's go there real quick. I could just go on for hours and hours, but we won't do that. Yeah, we have these different Bible schools that we do on the weekends. And our Bible schools run on Friday night for 4 hours and then Saturday for 8 hours. Everybody's excited about that. No, it's Deuteronomy. I'm getting them confused. I think I wrote it down. But I was right the first time, wasn't I? No. All right, I wrote it down. I looked it up even. But we have our classes, they go from the 8 hours, like I said, on Saturday, and then the 2 hours we have on, I know what I'm doing wrong now. Okay, thanks, Lord. Yeah, it's back in Exodus. That's what I'm trying to do. But anyways, we have the 4 hours Friday night, 8 hours on Saturday. Sometimes I go to churches and I say, well, I'm just going to do like our classes and I'll go for 8 hours. And then people get a terrified look and I stop. Okay, that's what I was trying to say while I was looking for my verses. But anyways, it's actually Exodus chapter 14. And that's the problem sometimes we have, and I do this all the time, and you probably do the same thing, where God starts to give us some ideas in our heart, and then we try and figure it out in our head. Because God just reminded me of this verse I was thinking about. I did a whole message on this once, and then I started thinking in my head, but isn't it over in this verse, and isn't it over in that verse? And once I calmed down and stopped trying to figure it out in my head, he just started talking again. And he told me, no, go over to Exodus. Oh, okay. Because there's a good example here in Exodus. When they get delivered out of Egypt, out of the bondage that they were in, going to the place that God had promised to them, look what he says to them in Exodus chapter 14 as they get delivered out of Egypt. Exodus 14, starting in verse 1, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before, and it's got a name there that I'm not going to try and pronounce, between Migdal and the sea, opposite Beth Baal Zephon. Well, you shall camp before it by the sea. Notice twice there, he says, you're going to go to the sea. Now, wait a second, God. We're not taking swimming lessons. We're trying to go to the promised land. Why are you taking us to the sea? Sometimes on our journey through life, the path and plan that God has for us to fulfill his purpose and his will and find our destiny, we go through some things and we wonder, what am I doing here? But it's all a part of his plan. Now, even if you've never read the Bible story, you've probably seen the movie with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments, right? Everybody knows that. And they go out, and they're by the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, here comes Yul Brynner and the rest of the Egyptians, and you're like, the Egyptians are coming. What are we going to do? Right? And this is exactly what happened in this story. But God knew exactly what he was going to do. Where sometimes we wonder why God has brought us to a certain place, there's a reason for it. There's a purpose and a plan behind everything God is doing in our lives if we're following and listening to him. And the great thing is, even if we get off track, he'll still bring us back where we need to go. The way you get from here to there is following God's plan and purpose by being led by the Spirit. By following his direction, even when it looks like it's something wrong. God said intentionally, you go down to the sea. Because he was about to split the Red Sea, let them go through, and wipe out all his enemies through that sea that he led them to. We sometimes don't know why we get into certain situations. We don't know why our journey leads us in certain places, but our journey is for us. It's unique. It's not like anybody else's journey. And there's things God leads us through in our journey that we need to pick up, right? I can think of several examples like this, but with all the different kinds of traveling that I've done, the decisions I make while I'm traveling determine my outcome, determine my future. I can decide to, you know, I was looking up in my phone the other day. I was visiting some other friends in northern Wisconsin, and I needed to go back home, and then I was coming here a couple days later. And so I did the little thing in my phone, you know, the little map, and how long is it going to take me? Well, it gives you several options. You can drive a car, you can go by public transportation, and you can walk. All those things will get you to your destination, but they won't all go the same route, and they won't all take the same amount of time. Right? Now, sometimes you can figure these little map things, and you can stop and see something on the way, or you can go over here, or they say, how do you want your route to go? Do you just want a straight route, a fast route, or whatever? We sometimes take our journeys and we compare them to other people's, and we get confused because we think, why does their journey look different than my journey? Well, that's because you're a different person. And I remember even when I was a teenager, many years ago in the Ice Age, wasn't quite that long ago, we didn't have any dinosaurs at home. But I remember I'd look at other kids and think, man, they're so cool. They got it all figured out. They're so smart. No, they didn't. Not any more than me. God didn't have a different purpose and plan for their lives than he did for me, in the sense that they were so much better and so much more special than I am. Where I live in Germany, we have people from many, many different nations. And it's interesting to meet all these different people from all these different backgrounds and to hear the different stories of how they got to where they are today. And we're still all, you know, going on our journeys. But everybody's journey is a little bit different. And there's things that God is bringing us through on our journey for a purpose that will help us when we get to our destination. He's got things that we have to pick up as we go through, because if we don't go through the journey the way he wants, we're going to miss some of the things he has. I can look back in my own life and see the path that I took to get me to where I am today. And at the time, there were some things I went through and I thought, what am I doing here? This is not what God has for me, I thought. This is not what I'm supposed to do, I thought. This is not where I want to be, I thought. Remember back here, I'm an American, I live in America, I like American things, America, America, America. America, America. But see, I was so happy with my little thing I thought was so wonderful. Once I finally let go and took the step that God was leading me into and did the things that God was leading me to do, I found more contentment and happiness than I ever thought I could have. Now people say, are you ever coming back to America? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I like it over there. Well, is Germany perfect? No, but neither is America. Neither is anywhere. But wherever you are is the perfect place. Don't be like, it says in Psalm 32, verse 9, says, don't be like a horse and a mule that you've got to pull with the bit and the bridle, otherwise they won't do what you want. We've got to learn to be sensitive to God's plan and his purpose, even when the enemies are coming, even when we have provision problems, even when we question our leadership, either from God or from our local pastor or whoever. Even when we have those situations, we've got to be so connected and so tight with God that we know, yes, this is his plan. Yes, this is his purpose. And it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know God has a plan. I know he has a destiny, and I'm going to follow that thing. We all have a destiny individually. We've got destiny as churches, and it's important for us to fulfill that destiny. We might not think our destiny is very important. You know, I was thinking about a lot of examples, but I was thinking about one guy a guy named James Robison, and he held a meeting at a high school in Texas one time, and he just talked about giving your life to Jesus and all that stuff like that. But in that meeting was a guy named Willie George, and Willie George got born again in that meeting. Now, James Robison just came to a high school in Texas to talk to a bunch of kids, but God had a plan and a purpose for a man named Willie George. A plan and a purpose that has impacted the world. Huh? You know, we all think about, I want to do great things for God. I want to do great things for God. But look at the people in Paul's life, where he was in Damascus and they're trying to kill him in Damascus. And he said they let him down over the wall in a basket. Now think about the guys that had the basket, that had the rope holding the basket. Do you think they were like, ooh, man, I got the basket. Ooh, I got the rope for the basket. Ooh, I'm so happy to fulfill the will of God. Woo! No, they're just thinking I got a basket and a rope. But what if they hadn't had that basket and that rope and they had killed Paul? Do you think those people had a destiny? I was talking to somebody after church last night. You think about Rahab the harlot. That's not a good name. Prostitute, we'd say. And all she did was hide some people and then lie about it. Now, I'm not encouraging you to lie. You know, all the kids are going home. Now, Mom, Dad, you know, at church, the preacher said we're supposed to lie and fulfill God's plan. No, that's not what I said. But she realized that God was who he said he was. In the book of Joshua, you read the story about her, and she said, you know what? It doesn't matter where I've come from. I know God has a destiny for my life. I know that God has a plan and a purpose for me, and I'm going to trust God. And she got delivered. The whole city of Jericho where she lived was destroyed. They went in and killed everybody except for Rahab and her family. She used to be Rahab the harlot, but she became Rahab, a part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing. She started out here as Rahab the harlot. She ended up fulfilling her destiny and plan of God, helping God's plan to be fulfilled, and ended up in the family tree of Jesus. That's pretty good. We look at ourselves where we are today and think, man, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm useless, but not to God. Because he sees the destiny and the plan he has for your life. He knows the journey he has for you, and wherever you are today, there's a plan, there's a purpose, there's a destiny on your life. I was just this morning as we're doing the praise and worship, and I was just singing and worshiping the Lord and just kept hearing in my heart, there's such a destiny on you in this place, on each one of you. There's such a destiny, and we don't even realize it. If we did, we wouldn't sit, we would be like, we'd be so worked up we couldn't contain ourselves. Just like I was talking with Pastor Steve yesterday. He had an appointment this morning, but we were talking yesterday, and I was sharing about this minister's meeting I just went to with a guy named Mark Hankins, and he was talking about this man who needed $1 million. $1 million. That gets everybody's attention. $1 million. That's a lot of money. So he's praying, God, I need $1 million. I'm here without $1 million, and I need to get to there where I have $1 million. Oh, God, I'm believing you're going to help me. And the Lord says to him, how would you act if you had $1 million? He's like, oh, yes, Lord, I'd be so happy. I'd be so thankful. And, Lord, I'm believing. You had that $1 million for me. And he went on. And the Lord said again, how would you act if you had that $1 million? And he's like, well, Lord, I'd be very happy. I'd be very happy about it. I'd be so excited. Lord, I'd be so thankful. And Lord, I'm believing you're bringing the money in. He went back into this again. He's still stuck here. You know, God is a faith God, right? You have to have faith to please God. That's what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How do you get from here to there? By faith, of course. Following God, but by faith. So again, God says to this guy, how would you act if you had $1 million? And he's like, oh, I get it. He was still praying, looking for this, looking for how do I get there, how do I get there? And God said, you act in faith like you've already got it. You believe that what you have asked for, you've already received, just like Mark 11:23-24. And he said, hallelujah, I got that million, woo! And he started jumping and dancing and screaming. Sometimes that's what you've got to do. When it looks like it's dark, when it looks like you're never going to leave here and get to there, you just got to say, hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going. I'm on the right path. God has a plan. He has a destiny. And I'm excited. That's what you've got to do sometimes. Just make the devil mad. Just get him all worked up and ticked off. I like to do that. When he thinks he's got me in a corner, I just laugh and go, ha ha, I got you right where I want you. And he's like, what? You're in the corner. You're stuck. I was reading a story about a guy. He discovered some gold up in a mountain, I think it was, or some iron ore or something very valuable. And he went down into the city, and he talked to some people, and he said, you know what? I've got all this valuable stuff I need to get. So this mining engineer says, let's go and look at it. So the guy goes up there with the man who discovered it, and they look at this stuff, and he said, well, this is really extremely valuable. He said, what you're going to have to do is either organize a stock company and sell all this off, or you're going to have somebody come in and mine it for you. So he said, which one are you going to do? You can do A or you can do B. Which one are you going to do? He said, I'm doing C. He said, I'm going to learn how to get it myself. And this guy went to school. He studied. He learned. And he went in for himself, and he made millions doing it. We sometimes want, well, I guess I got A or I got B. But God will give us C. We want to know how to get from here to there. And sometimes the devil says, well, you got to do A or you got to do B. And you say, no, I'm going to wait for Holy Spirit number C, letter C. Yeah. But to get from here to there, it sometimes look like we only have a narrow choice. It sometimes looks like we're on the wrong path. But if we'll follow God's plan and his purpose for our journey, he's going to bring us to our destiny. It might not all happen tomorrow. And you can read a lot of stories of men and women of God and just regular people who have spent years working at something till they got what they needed, who have spent years doing certain things, practicing, preparing, developing themselves until they got where they needed to go. It sometimes takes hard work. I've been some places and people afterwards, they say, oh, you've got a gift. Oh, God is working. Oh, I can see the plan of God in your life. Ooh, Jim, ooh, Jim. Well, you know how long it took me to get here? You know how long it took me to get to do what I'm doing? It didn't just happen overnight. I didn't just fall out of a tree and do this and wake up and go, oh, hallelujah. No, it don't work that way. Sometimes our journey is like the children of Israel, where there's a little bit of difficulty involved, but the reward is so great. And sometimes we got to do like the guy praying for the $1 million and act like we're already there, even though we haven't reached the destination. Sometimes flying from Europe or to Europe, it's like an endurance test. You're just like, hang on, it'll be over soon. Hang on, it'll be over soon. Can I have another drink of water, please? Please. But you know what I do sometimes? I just start thinking about, when I get to my destination, it's going to be so wonderful. When I was on the plane and, you know, I wasn't in the screaming baby section this time with every little guy, you know, and people are, oh my goodness. Sometimes you wonder how they let some of these people on the airplane. It's just amazing. You know, and I think sometimes they should have everybody take a bath or something before they get on the airplane and stuff like that. But I just started thinking about, you know what? Just like the Bible says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12. Because of what was ahead of him, because of the destiny, because of what he knew was there, he went through what he needed to go through to get from here to there. So I was on the airplane and I started thinking about seeing people here, seeing all of you guys, doing the things, seeing my family, doing the things that I knew were ahead of me. I started seeing those things and it didn't matter what was happening on the airplane. Didn't matter that the only movies they had were bad movies. Man, it was bad. And the plane's bumping and the people are screaming and the babies and the smelly people. Ah! It didn't matter because I knew the plane was taking me from where I was to where I needed to go. And I was excited about it because even though the journey wasn't so exciting, I knew the destination was what I needed to get to. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destiny for our lives. And if we'll follow him, if we'll take the steps he's leading us to take, if we'll develop ourselves through his word, spending time with him in prayer, learning to be led by the Spirit, if we'll do that, we'll get to that destination he has for us, and our life will be so much brighter than we could possibly imagine. He has such a destiny for you, such a plan and a purpose for every one of you. And don't let anybody ever tell you different. Ever. Ever. I don't care if everybody ever told you, everybody you ever met told you you were a failure. Everybody you ever met told you you weren't good enough, you weren't smart enough, you weren't pretty enough or tall enough or short enough or fat enough or skinny enough or whatever enough. Huh? It doesn't matter because with God, all things are possible to him who believes. Not that all things are possible to him who's 6'2". Not all things are possible to him who's highly educated. Not all things are possible to him who has a lot of money or not enough or whatever. No, all things are possible to those who believe. Believe what? Believe the word of God. Believe that his plan is working. That's called faith. Following that plan, following that purpose. Like the message you had last week about the wisdom. That's what you need too. If you weren't here, go back and listen. It was good. I listened to it on the airplane. That was good, at least. The rest of the airplane ride wasn't so great. But he has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destiny. He wants us to fulfill it. He wants us to do the things he's called us to do. And it's possible to go from here to there. We might face challenges, but we need to focus on the place we're going to. We need to discover the plan God has for our life. We need to walk by faith. We need to follow God's direction. And by doing all those things, we'll get to where we need to go, fulfilling the destiny of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for City Park.